God, your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. And you taught your people by your deeds that those who are just must be kind. God lives up to these words in his own Son, Jesus. These words from our first reading remind us again that God sees and defines justice quite differently than humanity tends to. The justice of God concerns the dignity and preciousness of creation, especially human life. The kingdom of God is radically different from any kingdom that mankind has built or on its own would ever build. As in the first reading, Jesus in the gospel presents a very different and new approach as the way of seeing things and doing things. God's format for justice is bigger by far than the best we could develop on our own. In the same way that Jesus expands the meaning and the intent of the commandments, he also expands our concept of justice. Too often, our sense of justice resembles a balance sheet where both sides have to even out. Transgression merits equivalent punishment. Omission merits less participation. But with our Lord, that's not the way. With our Lord, there is leniency, forgiveness, love, kindness, and patience. And all these things are unmistakable signs of God's love for us, all of us, even the wicked among us. As they all hold back the just hand of God for the sake of our coming to conversion and to salvation. We are loved so much that even after giving us his own Son, he still humbles himself in these ways, in the divine desire for us to be with him in heaven. That should really have a tremendous meaning for us. Almighty God, creator of everything, humbles himself for our sake, being kind to us. And when we truly understand this, we will understand the things that God asks of us as a way of life: leniency, kindness, forgiveness, patience, love. Why, in the kingdom of heaven, are the weeds allowed to grow with the wheat? In other words, the good with the bad. Why? Why would that be? Well, there are two reasons. First, because God doesn't want to risk uprooting the good growth before it is ripened. And secondly, because God is patient. He's not in a hurry to pull up and destroy all the weeds either. You know, how many of us here have had a time in our lives when it would have been less than clear if we were weed or wheat? It's worth remembering that the God who can make bread into his body can probably, with sufficient grace, affect change in the wicked. All that is growing in the field has value to God, all of it. And the harvest will come soon enough, and all the sorting out will be done then. So leniency and kindness, real power in the hands of God and of the godly. A little quick story here, a little vignette. A holy man was once threatened with death by a bandit. "Then be good enough to fulfill my dying wish," said the holy man. "Cut off the branch of that tree." But with one slash of the sword, it was done. "What now?" asked the bandit. "Put it back again," said the holy man. The bandit laughed. "You must be crazy to think that anyone can do that." "On the contrary," said the holy man, "it is you who are crazy to think that you are mighty because you can wound and destroy." That is the task of children. The mighty know how to create and to heal. One of the most infamous tyrants in human history, actually in the last century, within the last 100 years, professed the premise that power unused is power lost. And he acted on his belief and went on to kill millions and millions of innocent men, women, and children. And yet we know that the premise of power is false, because God, who is all-powerful, does not seek to destroy, but instead is lenient and kind. Sadly, history is filled with tyrants who have done the same. In the last century alone, the 20th century, it is estimated that 300 million people have been killed by national leaders using their power to purge their own societies. 300 million. But tyrants come in all shapes and sizes. They might be employers. They might be authority figures. They might be co-workers. They might be spouses, or school bullies, cliques. Or they might be smashing windows and throwing bricks. At any level of human society, there are those who confuse being wicked with true strength. So the weeds and the wheat grow together, and they will until Jesus returns on Judgment Day. Why? Well, we've just answered that already. But what remains to be answered is the question of how we, how I, how each of us, how we will respond to the wickedness around us. Is it just to be tolerated and ignored? No, not at all. Not at all. The best I can offer is the teaching of Jesus. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Stand visibly, vocally, and solidly for what is right in the eyes of God. And be mighty for God. Create and heal. And when we enter the fight, draw from the arsenal of our Almighty God leniency, kindness, and patience.